This is an early morning chat while we're drinking our coffee, talking to a friend whose partner has just spent time with someone else and says that's what they want to do. So this is a chat about that. The first thing is, for the maximum potential of this situation, walk away right now and don't listen to me. Go and sit with what you're feeling and feel what you're feeling. That is the maximum potential. Anything after that is delaying it. Attempting to water it down, the attempt to defuse what you are feeling. Water down, scatter, so you don't feel the intensity of what's happening for you right now. You are feeling exactly what you need to feel in order for you to evolve. What you're feeling is normal. What is not realized is people are not really people. They're robots. They're asleep, and totally asleep to the fact that they're asleep. And the only time they have a glimpse of being an alive, living, throbbing, juicy human being is when something unpleasant happens. Some people, even when they win the lottery, close off. They don't even celebrate getting the lottery. They close down. When something gets through to you, you're alive. The rest of the time, you're dead. Most people are dead most of the time. Robots talking across the table. And if you want to see that exaggerated, go to an Italian restaurant in Italy when all the family are having dinner. Everybody's talking at once and nobody's listening. But everybody's doing that all the time. Nobody is here. Nobody is experiencing this moment just as it is. Now, as we've been talking about, what we want is what we want. And we want to be safe, secure, and predictable. And that equals being semi-dead. Dead. In order to have the illusion of safety and security and predictability, you've got to be dead, because life is not safe, it's not secure, and it's not predictable. It's alive. Things happen all the time. Cars happen, people have heart attacks, they finally got cancer, plane crashes, people get robbed and mugged, and partners get attracted to somebody else. This is happening. This is life. And we've been brought up not to be alive. We've been brought up by religion that says, no, until death us do part. Well, death happens with those words. As soon as you say death will happen, that's right, as soon as you get married, you're dead. You're finished. You're not alive anymore. You're not truthful anymore. You don't even allow yourself to be truthful to yourself, let alone to other people. It's natural to get attracted to other people and to look at plants and enjoy birds and want to travel and do things. Now, when the bond, the connection, is so harmonious, both parties are so totally complete in themselves, they don't need anyone else, then these two people can live together uncompromisingly, unconditionally, without restriction. They can live together in freedom, that in any moment, whatever happens, they will respond to their truth, whatever it is. And often, although this case is very rare, nothing ever happens because both people are so complete, they don't need anything to happen. Their whole beingness is realized within themselves. That is almost unheard of. Most people are in transition. If you look at your partner now, your partner looks totally different. She's 10 times more alive than when she arrived here. She's bright, she's laughing, she's... except when she gets around you. And of course, when she gets around you, her caring for you brings her energy down. Your pain brings her energy down. Your complaint brings her energy down. Your anger brings her energy down. But that's her responsibility. But when she's away, if you were to have a look at her from a distance and see, you'll see she's laughing, she's sparkling, she's far more alive than just a little while ago when she was saying no, no, no to anything that was happening. Another point to out is nothing happens has to happen to have this aliveness. Living in yes, you will be that alive. You don't have to have the prospect of another lover. Just living in yes, you're that alive, whether there's a lover there or not. If you say no, I am in a relationship, I will not allow myself, down goes your energy, your frequency goes down, everything goes down. Women sell themselves out for security. Men sell themselves out because they can't live with themselves alone. And the biological drive and so on and so on. So, pretty well every relationship is a compromise. There is no such thing as a relationship. There is only the moment, and in the moment, all there is relating. Relating. There's no past. There's no future. You're not married. You're not going to be together forever. And you're not going to be together forever. There is no future. There is now. There is now. We're together now. Or we're not together now. It is, what is it now? But the more you restrict yourself, the more you have vows, the more committed you are, the more dead you are. You're dead. But of course you don't know that because everybody else is dead. And you look around and you say, oh, that's what life is. It looks like that. No, that's not life. If you want to see a life, look at a baby. If you want to see life, look at lion cubs playing. That's life. It's alive, it's juicy, it's moving. It doesn't have a future. When you become as a little child, we get indoctrinated with ideas until death us do part. And we're dead already. We're just waiting for the coffin. And that's the only time we feel safe. In the coffin, lid screwed down. At last we're free. Too late. Recycle. Come back and do the whole thing again. So, right from the start, we're conditioned to be a certain way. You see, at the basis of Catholic religion is you don't have sex, not even masturbate, unless you are reproducing. That's where we come from. That's where we all come from. And that's death. It's death to our life. That isn't life. That's ridiculous. And if you look on television and look at the Pope and look at these archbishops and look at these people, and it's so fucking obvious. These people are dead. They're afraid of life. They're afraid of living. They're afraid of spontaneity. They're afraid of themselves. And that's what we've done to women. Men are afraid of women because they're more alive than we are. They're more in touch with life than we are. Because of their biology and many other things. They're close to life. They give life. We just pop a sperm in there. But they take care of, they're close to life. So we've had to suppress them. We've had to do everything we can. And if you want to see what we've done, go to the Arab countries and see the women that don't even have their eyes showing, terrified of the female energy. But it isn't that the men are only afraid of the female energy in the female. We're afraid of it in ourselves. We're afraid to be alive. We're afraid to be spontaneous. We're afraid to be silly and stupid. We're afraid to be real. We're afraid to be alive. Put the average person on a stage in front of people, they freeze up. They're afraid to be themselves. And the greatest actors up there, especially the greatest comedians, they're just doing their thing. And most of the things we laugh at with these comedians, all they're doing is mirroring our stupidity. And we laugh at it when it's up there. And we contract when we see it in ourselves. Because we've got to be a certain way because somebody's told us to be a certain way. And these people that are telling us to be a certain way, they're not people. They're not alive. They've been programmed by people who've been programmed, or people who've been programmed, they've been dead people programming people to be dead. A child gets alive in school, give them drugs. They have a deficit syndrome. They're too alive. And they dump them all, they dump us all in one classroom. Geniuses, one kid, 4 years old, has just passed the IQ test that is above this famous scientist that's in a wheelchair. Stephen Hawking. Her IQ is above Stephen. And she's in a classroom with kids who are hardly alive. That's how we treat each other. Lower them all down, especially in Australia. If anybody gets special, cut them down. Get everybody average. And what's average? It's so boring. It's so dead. So you've just been given an opportunity. You've just had your shell cracked open. And you're finding out who's in the shell. Normally, you live the shell. You're not you. You are this person with this name doing this thing. But that's not you. That's a robot. That's how you've been created by your sick society. By you created from your parent, from your mother while you're in the womb. And then your parents, and then your teachers, and then your religion, and then they've created this robot, and you think you're the robot. And suddenly you're finding, hey, I'm not a robot. I've got all sorts of things going on in here that I've been avoiding. I've got pain in there, and a lot of anger in there, and a lot of resentment, and a lot of complaint, and that's who you are. That's who you are in there. That's the alive, living, throbbing person in there. And if you connect with that, and you stay with that, and you experience that, and you have that, you'll transcend it. You'll go beyond it. But while there's complaint there, while you're supporting your anger, while you're supporting feeling sorry for yourself and a victim and supporting all those things, you'll stay in this cycle. And eventually, what will happen, eventually, sometimes it takes people years and years and years, and some people can do it in a year or so, your shell will grow back over. And you'll start feeling less and less and less. And you'll start disconnecting from the person about which you're feeling yourself through what they're doing. And then you'll go back to being the robot again, which you think is you. Until the next time. And the next time. But what you're living as a robot, compared with who you can be, is hell. This dimension, the way people living it, compared with its possibility, is hell. Just think, we're sitting here and we see these incredibly beautiful parrots fly around, and people put them in cages. They put them in this tiny little cage. Well, you've been living in a tiny little cage. Everybody's living in a tiny little cage. Their cage is what you've been told is and isn't. possible and impossible, right and wrong, good and bad, up, down, in, out, man, woman. That's your cage. That is nothing, nothing to do with reality. This is reality. These birds flying around, no security. Hawks come over, snakes there. Other things happening all the time. But they're alive. The safer you get, the more secure you get, the more predictable you feel, the more dead you are. Until you end up in your wooden coffin. So, you're now more alive, but you're saying no thank you. You're saying no thank you. I don't want to be more alive. I want to be the way I want. Well, you can go back. In fact, you will go back. You will go back if you want to go back. You will go back. We totally control our reality. As Sheldrake and Bruce Lipton are saying now, they're out there saying it. We create our reality. We create our reality, literally, literally. So you've got to be very careful what you think you want, because you'll get it. And what we want from our old place is to be safe and secure and predictable. Pain is resistance. You say, I don't want this, but your whole energy is complaint and anger, a whole bunch of anger in there. You are contracted. You say, I don't want this. No, you want what you want. And that's sick. That's coming from your neurosis. You've got what you need, but you're not saying, thank you, that's great. Gosh, if you hadn't have done that, I'd still be stuck. There's no gratefulness. There's no joy here. As well as pain. As well. But that becomes secondary. When you start to say, boy, am I more alive now than I was before this happened? I am more alive. I'm feeling more on every single level. So, you got it. But you're not saying thank you. You're not celebrating it.
I'm not celebrating it, and I don't say thank you. I mean, yesterday there was a feeling of yes, thank you. Yesterday is gone.
So what I'm saying is, this is what you want. You want this, so you got it. You want it. You never get anything you don't want. You want this, so you got it.
This, as it is right now.
Right, yeah. As soon as you're ready to disconnect, you'll shift, like you did last night. Yesterday, you shifted. You don't know how you got there. But I'll tell you how you got there. You don't know this. What happens is, you see, being awake is, and then it's really hard to explain. Being awake is being with exactly what is. Just being with what is. And you're awake. You're free. But as soon as you have the slight... So, Sam, the great way is not difficult for those that have no preferences. Make the slightest distinction, however. The slightest distinction. The slightest preference. And heaven and hell. Just the slightest. I don't want this. Just the slightest. And you're in hell. And once you say... Yes, this is what is. You're home. Because this is what is. And you want to know whether you're saying yes or no? Check your body. It'll always tell you. No is contraction. It's complaint. It's anger. Yes. And all that melts.
And how did that process, yes, when...
You're there! Now! You're there now! And you're saying, no, I want my way. I do not want to feel this. I want to feel what I want to feel.
But I'm feeling what I'm feeling.
No, you're not. You're saying no to it. As soon as you say yes, you'll be in that space again. You are saying, no, I do not want what I that where I am now. I want what I want. And what I want is not to feel what I'm feeling. Well, you are feeling what you're feeling, and you're saying no to it. So Diane had her awakening because she sat with what she was feeling and felt it. Another depth, not going off to it's because, it's their fault, I can do this, I'll work on it. No, I'm feeling this, and going deeper and deeper into what's being felt. Here's another perspective, and it's not really relevant for you for where you are, but it's just to give an overall picture. You see, what you're going through is a joke. It's ridiculous. Absolutely stupid. Because your whole idea is that there is a way to be, that there is a life. And then when you make it into a relationship, boy, is that stupid. That is so stupid. Life is so big. It's so vast. And all these things available. And we get into these tiny little black boxes. And we're trying to make them work. They don't work. They're not supposed to work. This dimension is not supposed to work. It's supposed to upset you so often, so deeply that you wake up. It's not designed to work. It's designed to wake us up to who we really are. And we keep trying to make this ridiculous religion and politics and money and things. We're trying to make it work. It doesn't work. It's not made to work. It's made to upset us. So we become alive. And we get upset and we want to be dead again. We want to go, we want to crawl back into our little. And then we get in there and we start to have the illusion of safety and security, and then we get bored. And then when we get bored, we're trying to blame somebody or something that we feel like we feel. Life is designed to upset us, to keep disturbing us. So we keep looking at ourselves and our situation. What's going on? Well, what's going on is we're listening to our conditioning and not to this very moment, just as it is. So people get upset because of what's happening in their relationship. There is no such thing as a relationship. Your partner isn't here, except in your mind. She might be dead. She might have had a car accident and dead. And you go on as though a relationship, well, it could be over. You don't know. You're living in your mind, not here. Here is this. This is all there is. Until the next moment and the next moment. Nobody's in a relationship. Nobody. There's no such thing. There is relating moment to moment. What is it now? What is it now? What is it now? But we don't do that. We make a contract with the devil. Contract with the devil until death us do part. And then we do the same things. We come back to the same house. We sleep in the same bed. We do, whether even people that have had a great argument, they sleep in the same bed. They don't live their truth. Houses don't matter. Relationships don't matter. Children don't matter. Nothing matters except the truth of this moment. And that is very, very rare. Very rare to find somebody who is living their truth in their moment. And when they do, especially if it's a woman, we call her a whore. because she's living her truth. But they go a bit further in Arabia. They stone them to death. Even if they've been raped, they're stoned to death. And that's just an exaggeration of what we do. Everything out there is an exaggeration of what we do. There is no safety, there is no security, there is no predictability. There is life and living. I forgot one thing. Once you disconnect from your humour, you're lost. To try and take this dimension seriously, you're lost. This is a fun place. Just need to recognize it.